Oh, good morning. We'll start this formal public hearing now. May I begin by acknowledging the traditional owners of the land where we're meeting today, the Kaurna people, and may I welcome you to this public hearing that we are holding as part of our National Inquiry into Discrimination Against People in Same-Sex Relationships, Financial and Work-Related Entitlements and Benefits, or as we more usually refer to it, the same-sex, same entitlements inquiry. I'm sorry we've been a little late this morning in starting, but as you know, we had an agenda with a number of people arranged. Mr. Ian Hunter, MLC, was kind of going to come and speak to us about his perspectives of the issue and no doubt give us some information from the parliamentary point of view, but unfortunately something has happened in his family and he's unable to be with us today, so we will reorganise the agenda and proceed nonetheless. May I just make a few opening remarks about the inquiry itself? It is an inquiry about equal rights for gay and lesbian couples who try to access financial entitlements and work benefits that heterosexual couples in the community take for granted. The right to non-discrimination and the right to equality before the law are two of the most fundamental principles of human rights law. Yet, as we know only too well, there is a raft of Australian laws, particularly federal laws, that clearly deny certain rights to same-sex couples that are freely available to other heterosexual couples, as well as to married people. Our goal is to identify those discriminatory laws, explain the impact which they have on real people in real life circumstances, and then to recommend to the government changes that will cause the discrimination to disappear. We are holding public consultations in each of the capital cities and also a less formal forum hearings where people can come along and give us their own individual stories. We started the inquiry formally on the 3rd of April this year with a public meeting, and at that time we released a background paper that had been prepared which not only explained what we were trying to achieve with the inquiry but identified many areas of federal legislation that we were already aware of. Then we called for public submissions and private submissions. In all, we've received now 350 submissions. But when it's recognised that many of those are from organisations that represent gay and lesbian people and others in the community, the total number of people involved in those submissions far exceeds 350. Having got those submissions, many of which are up on our website, we then proceed to the next stage of the inquiry, which is what we're in now, with these public consultations and the private or less formal forums. The purpose for doing that is to try and put a face to the problems, as it were. It's easy enough to sit down and do an analytical exercise on the statutes and work out provisions which are probably discriminatory. But you could write as many reports as you like on that sort of analytical analysis, and I don't think you're going to move the minds and hearts of too many people in the political spectrum or in the community. But as soon as you start putting real-life stories to those things, people start to empathise with the problem and appreciate that there really is a difficulty that needs to be addressed. And we have found generally in the human rights discourse that it's once you get the personal stories, the personal narratives, and use those to illustrate the point, that you start to have some effect on people's attitudes and start to bring about some significant attitudinal change in the community. And once you manage to get that sort of change, well then you usually can manage to get politicians interested in bringing about some legislative change to go with it. The written submissions we've received have canvassed many of the discriminatory pieces of legislation that we'd identified. Common themes running through these things are leave entitlements, workmen's compensation entitlements, social security benefits, Medicare issues, mainly the safety net in Medicare and the safety net in pharmaceutical benefits. Superannuation death penalties, particularly for Commonwealth public servants, is a real issue, and there are various other issues in the Tax Act too. It's not surprising that these issues are preoccupying many gay and lesbian couples in the community. They are issues that I think everyone struggles to deal with. Everyone's keen to minimise their expenses and maximise their own position for security in their older age. And gay and lesbian couples, of course, are no different. But because of these discriminations, they seem to encounter more difficulties on the way through in trying to achieve what everyone else wants to achieve in life. And it is disappointing to us, and I think obviously to those that are affected, that the laws are making it so much harder for gay and lesbian couples to manage their finances. And we're also finding that in those couples that are rearing children, there are particular disadvantages which find their way through to the children also in many of these areas. I think probably one of the common areas we've got submissions in from gay men is the access to superannuation benefits that I've already mentioned. And with lesbian couples, it's the issues that affect childcare in particular which are coming to the fore. The submissions describe, of course, financial strains which some of these discriminatory laws place on gay and lesbian couples. But they go further than that, and they repeatedly tell us stories which indicate that the couples themselves feel that they are being treated as second-class citizens and not deserving of the same rights as heterosexual couples. In one submission, one person put it this way, I'm a first-class taxpayer but a second-class citizen, which I thought was a very telling way of describing a very real issue. And another submission expressed the frustration of a man in these terms. The inequalities embedded in current legislation are obvious and inexcusable. Understanding, tolerance and inclusion are said to be the values of the Australian community. Current legislation tells another story. So we come to these hearings. The purpose of today's hearing is to hear personal stories from a number of individuals who've kindly agreed to come along and speak. Also, we are fortunate to have Matthew Loader from Let's Get Equal, Dr. Joe Harrison, who's a researcher who is particularly interested in the problems of same-sex couples in later life and as they age, and the South Australian Equal Opportunity Commissioner, Linda Matthews, has agreed to give information to us about the legislative changes that have been mooted in South Australia, and she has some views about whether the proposed legislation, which lapsed when Parliament was prorogued last year, it goes far enough, as she feels that there are some areas that are not adequately dealt with in the proposed legislation, which the Attorney-General has said today he does propose to reintroduce in the current sessions of Parliament, which is good news. At the moment there's no media here, but it is possible that some media will turn up. The ABC said that they may come. We will give any media representatives that come information about privacy and so on, but it is a public hearing today, and in the ordinary course we would record the information that we're given on an audio file and put it on the web. At the forums, however, like the one that will be held tonight at the FAD Bar, they are informal and we don't record what is there said, and nor do we identify people who participate. On the chairs, you have got some papers which are merely there to give you some further information about today's agenda and to give you a form on which you can make some further written submissions about today's hearing or about the issues involved if you wish.